I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holden Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Dustin, I want you to meet, first of all, representation matters.
Yes, it does, Ebony.
And I want you to meet Dr. Ebony K. Williams.
Look at the doctor. Look at the good doctor.
Look at the good doctor. This is a bobblehead that my mother, Gloria, made for me. This was my present, Dustin, when I earned my honorary doctorate in the spring, in May. Right, not the tassel.
I put that, Ebony, you put it right tell you, there. I love that.
So my mother literally had a whole situation trying to get me brown enough because they kept sending a white doll. And she was like, no, my baby brown.
Okay.
Okay. This is Ebony. Dr. Ebony K. Williams. I have a bobblehead. And this is germane to the Cam Newton story that we're going to get to later in the show. So that's why I bought her
Ebony.
Today.
Ebony.
You want to take a picture of her?
I'm about to.
Yeah.
I cannot believe this,
so this
Ebony.
This is my bobblehead.
How cute is this, Ebony?
Babble. Okay. Nice to meet you, Dustin Ross.
Hi, Ebony. Isn't you look good, so girl. Yes.
Okay. I can't.
Okay. Hi, Ebony.
I'm going to leave her right here for the episode.
I love her.
Okay. I'm going to let her look at you. Okay. And I have two other bobbleheads that I own with Dr. Ebony K. Williams, and one of them is Cam Newton.
Really?
So Ebony. We're going to get to his ass.
Really, Ebony?
Later in the show. You get one guess as to who the third one is. Not now, later.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. 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 I'm gonna think about that. I'm gonna think hard about
how many
that.
Bitches you know got a bobblehead.
Got a bobblehead. That's I mean the
this
levels.
This is a flex.
The levels. Okay, listen. That's why I had to take a picture.
Thank you, Mama.
Ebony, that is so cute. When I tell you,
ding. Okay, that's why you can't tell me nothing. I ain't gonna never let no man talk to me crazy.
Hell
bitch.
No.
I got a bobblehead.
I got a bobblehead. I ain't one.
I...
Okay. You better ask somebody.
Okay. All right, y'all. Obviously, we're going to get to Cam Newton later in this in the docket. But first, we're going to get into home ownership. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bank of America has put out, you know, the streets are talking. The streets are talking, Dustin. Bank of America has a new program that they're touting. They're trying to get black and brown folks. Put mm-hmm. a pin in that because mm-hmm. we're not haters, but we're going to talk
mm-hmm.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
So the program is for black and brown folks to buy first-time home buyers. They're talking about... zero down payment, no credit check, and some other shit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to unpack that. We're
okay.
going to talk about the good, because it's definitely a lot of good. And we're going to talk about the shit y'all need to look at a little closer.
Got it.
Got it? Good. All right. Then we're going to talk about, oh, child, Tyrese. Baby boy about to be in contempt.
My God. And it's all his damn fault.
Because it always is with Tyrese.
Yeah, yeah. Get back on the bus.
Wait, and sing the song.
Just get back on the
and
bus.
And just sing the song. Damn. I'd be rooting for Tyrese. I have a soft spot for people like that.
Yeah.
And Cam.
I know.
Cam was my motherfucking quarterback, Dustin. And he's out here doing some real non-player, as you would say, real raggedy shit. And his ass, it might be in contempt too, legally. Like, that's not
it's
just
so
my shade. That's like... the law might have to hold this motherfucker in contempt.
So unnecessary.
Ugh, it's tragic. I'm about to throw that bobblehead away. Any jurors, if you're listening, we might do a giveaway because I don't want it anymore. I don't even want it no more. I don't even want that in my, you know, I'm big on like energy.
Yeah,
and possession.
Energy, yeah.
You know, that's why I don't wear that snake collection from Giuseppe, that serpent collection.
When I tell you I died when you told me that story about them true. Shoes, you said I love them shoes.
I love them, but I can't have no serpent on my feet. Shit, I'm trying to be totally sanctified. Okay.
I will never forget you telling me that.
Because you looked at me, because we were still kind of getting to know each other. That was early in our career. And you was like, this bitch smart, but this bitch might be crazy. She really think it's gonna something gonna come
it
out them shoes.
It was one of the blackest things,
right? But
and when
you
I
know,
tell you, it
right?
was endearing, and it's just to this day, it is hilarious.
My mama don't.
Ever.
We don't do snakes and shit.
There's that's certain that's stuff the, I don't do either. You know, you already know.
You
don't
already
bring
know.
It in my damn house.
Right? Listen, you in them shoes, bitch? Put that shit on the outside. Okay. All right, Bank of America. So they have heard the call that Black folks are tired of this wealth gap. Let's start with that. We're tired of the wealth gap. We're tired of only having $10 to every $100 the white man has. And we want folks to do something about it. And y'all said y'all was going to do some shit after y'all killed the brother Floyd. Hmm. And so this is part of that. I mean, let's
part
just connect the dots.
That's what it is.
Absolutely. We weren't hearing about none of this shit before the murder of George Floyd. And so finally, unfortunately, because of his tragic murder, folks are coming out with initiatives to attempt to rectify the positioning of black folk in America. And I want to frame that as a positive, actually, as a positive thing to come out of a deep tragedy. So here comes Bank of America. And, you know, I ain't got to tell none of y'all, when you Google Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all these big financial institutions, go on and read your books, know your documents. This goes back in America to the Freedmen's Bureau. Okay. Black folk and money in this nation has always been ripe with shenanigans, foolishness, and bullshit.
For sure.
Okay? We might have been emancipated on paper, but we know, Dustin, that real emancipation, real liberation comes through economic empowerment. Okay, so Bank of America, like all these institutions, have been accused and had to settle millions and millions of claims in discrimination, in denying home loans, refinances, foreclosures, all this shit. So here they go trying to turn a new leaf. So Bank of America has announced recently, Dee, that they're going to do a new program. They are calling it the Community Affordable Loan Solution Program. Okay. It is touting 0% down payment, which for many folks trying to buy a home, that is the premier obstacle. Because typically you have to put 5, 10, 15, I know 25. I had to put 20. I've seen 25% cash dollars down for your mortgage. This program, Dustin, says $0 down, zero closing costs, because they'll hit you over the head too. Go, anybody that's done this or attempted to, know you got to put an extra 3-5% on top of the down payment aside just for closing cost. Okay? This program requires zero closing cost. And they're not having a minimum credit score, which is a game changer. Yep. We saw with the last episode, a good sister in the Bishop Church had some cash. She had $90,000, Dustin.
Her obstacle was the credit.
Yeah. So this is Bank of America, D, saying we're taking these predominant challenges and barriers to home ownership for black and brown folks, and we're taking them off the table in certain areas. So this is where we're going to lean in. This program, y'all, right now, it's a pilot program. They're testing it out. They're going to see how it's going to do. In Charlotte, my hometown, also where Bank of America is based, Charlotte, North Carolina, Dallas, Texas, your hometown, Detroit, Michigan. What do you feel away when I say Detroit versus Flint?
No, because it's all the same. It's not the same, but it is essentially like, and everybody know I rep Flint, so we good. Right. And I lived in Detroit. Shit.
Yeah. No, I know. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I claim it all. Damn it.
Because he didn't pay for it all.
That's right.
Detroit, LA, and Miami.
Yes.
Okay. So, couple things about who's eligible for this, Dustin. You got to be based in one of those cities that we just outlined. You have to have a certain income requirement. They're not disclosing at this point in time what that looks like. And again, the home you're buying, so not where you currently live, but the home
that
you're
you
buying has to be in a particular black or brown community. Put a pin in that. Okay. Again, no minimum credit score. And this is big. No mortgage insurance is required, because normally when you have 20% or less that you've paid down, you got to do a PMI, which is a mortgage insurance, which is this is just another fucking bill.
Another cost.
Yeah, another cost. So they're trying to eradicate those costs. Now, according to CNBC, applicants for this particular community affordable loan solution don't have to be black or Hispanic or Latino to qualify for the loans. Y'all don't ask me what that means, because we got to go into the fine print, because if the loan is being touted around those communities, how you wouldn't have to be one of those identities to qualify is
baffling, to say the least.
Right.
Like,
so
what?
We'll have to get into the tea on that a little further down the road. But here's the thing. These loans, even though they don't require the things we talked about, no down payment, no closing costs, no mortgage insurance, and apparently no credit score, they still will require you to go through what is called a rigorous underwriting process. Now, I can barely say the word underwriting, Dustin.
Yes, you got PTSD, I'm sure.
Because you already know.
Yeah. Yeah. Those of you who will see her face at this point.
Baby, let me.
Yes.
I need comfort.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
No, because that underwriting about took your girl out. And you know, because we were in communication during it. And it was, I was in, essentially, y'all, I was in underwriting for a year and a half on my condo. And, you know, God is good all the time. I'm happy to finally, at my big age, have one asset that I'm working towards. You know, no shape. I'm just being honest, Dustin, you know. But it almost didn't happen. And it was all because the underwriting process was so hellacious. Mm-hmm. It was really a form of financial hazing. Mm-hmm. Let's be very fucking clear. Mm-hmm. Every time I send y'all a piece of paper, y'all gonna send me 15 more things you need back. We almost done. We almost done for 6 fucking months. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll get to that. And what underwriting is. Underwriting is basically a process in which the financial institution you're getting your mortgage from, normally a bank, but sometimes a mortgage lender, is basically scrutinizing the shit out of you and your financial stability to see whether or not they want to give you the loan.
Yep.
That's what underwriting is. Now, again, historically, an underwriting process wants to see, yes, your income. So that's your tax return or your if you grown enough, your pay stub.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your pay stub. That's
remember,
right.
You remember a pay stub?
Yeah, you need 2 pay stubs.
You need pay stubs. Yep. Let me see them pay stubs. Mm-hmm. Some folks, oh, let me just be quiet, because you already know what I'm about to say.
Tell you a street corner. Listen, right now, you can get what you need.
Get everything.
You need a college degree. What you need.
What you need. What kind of paperwork you need. Okay, anyway, they're saying we don't need none of that. We're instead looking at your propensity to pay your rent on time, because they're mm-hmm. recognizing that you guys are not homeowners yet. You're renting, and your rental history should count. Mm-hmm. And I applaud that. Because right now, your rental history, you might be paying on time like a motherfucker. It's not helping your FICO score.
Yeah.
So that's not reflective of your propensity to be timely in your financial obligations, which is what an underwriting process should be assessing.
Yeah.
So good for them. Good. So they're looking at rent payments on time. They're looking at utilities mm-hmm. on time. So get them out your baby and your cousin them name and go and put them in your name so it counts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's shade, but that's real. Phone, same thing. And obviously now cell phone providers. Let me tell you how bad my credit used to be.
Mm-hmm.
My credit, and not all of that long ago. You saw that first episode of Roni.
Yeah, it's all good.
You know, God just delivered it
recently. Amen.
In the past 5 or so years. My credit used to be so bad, Dustin, that I couldn't even get a regular phone plan. Mm-hmm. I had to get a
prepaid.
That's it. Yep. No, well, I graduated from prepaid, but it was something else. I had to give them a deposit.
A deposit, yeah.
Yes. Do you remember this? Yep. I had to get, or maybe you knew somebody. But yes, I used to have to give Sprint $400 or $500 for them to even turn my phone on.
Yep.
But God and paid it all.
That he paid it all. And look at you now.
Ain't he good?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're going to look at phone payment history. And then they're going to look at auto insurance payments history, which is great for everybody unless you live in a metro where you don't drive. Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are going to be some of the things that they're looking at in the underwriting process for this Bank of America loan process. They are also going to require you, which I think is also good, to go through financial counseling so you know what the fuck you're getting yourself into. Very
important.
The more
information, the better.
Absolutely. And that's going to be in conjunction with Bank of America and HUD, which is Housing and Urban Development. Shout out to the good Delta woman, Marsha Fudge.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's a strong black woman. I fool with Marsha. Okay. So here's the deal about all of this home owner data. I just want, I'm going to see how, stop reading, Dustin. I'm going to give you a pop quiz.
Okay.
pop quiz. Dr. Williams, pop quiz. Okay. Right now, black home ownership rates are 43.4% for black Americans. This is according to research in 2020. So that's what we have right now, about 43.4%. I want you to tell me, did black people own more homes in today or in 1980? Damn, you took too long. Okay. So the answer is
1980?
Yeah.
I was going to say that because, speaking as somebody who is from Michigan, I was thinking about the prevalence of the auto industry, how everybody was working those jobs, making
and
all
Motown.
That money. Yeah,
no,
all that. Right. Okay. That's a whole nother financial like.
Right.
But okay. There were people who were working actively in the auto industry. My parents, my father was a skilled tradesman. He owned a home. Him and my mom owned our home when we grew up. So you know, I saw that. So I would think back in the '80s, actually.
And you would be correct.
Okay.
And I was having this conversation with a white colleague a little bit ago, maybe right pre-pandemic, and they were telling me to my face about how much better off black people are today than they were. I said, well, by what metric?
Now, that's what I want to know.
Right. And I'm not undermining progress that has been made in certain spaces of Black community and experience. But when we're talking about the financials, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Black home ownership in America, Dustin, has never, I repeat, never, not one day, been over 50%. Not even in the peak of the hustling era. Remember about 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, and 2007 when everybody and their mama opened, say, you get a home, you get a home, you get a home. Everybody was getting these predatory ass homes they couldn't even afford. Even then, Black people never got to over 50% of home ownership. So this is a big deal. And the reason for those of them that are listening, like, why this big deal about home ownership? I'm going to tell you, y'all, it's like this. When you talk about wealth building, you talk about asset accumulation. You're talking about something tangible that is going to appreciate in value over time versus depreciate in value over time. If you open a Kelley Blue Book, you know any car or vehicle you buy is only going to go down in value the second you drive it off the lot. I'm not saying don't get a nice ride. I'm saying it's not an appreciable asset. Mm-hmm. Versus real estate is, generally speaking, an appreciable asset, depending on, let's go ahead and get into it, where you buy it. The home ain't worth shit. Somebody taught me this when I was kind of really starting to educate myself on real estate, Dustin. The house, don't get too caught up in the house. It's the land that is the value. The land that the home is on. That's why you hear people say location, location, location. So to that point, I'm a little bit skeptical around the, and again, still am in favor of this program. What I love about this program is, if nothing else, Dustin, Bank of America doing this pilot program for Black, incentivizing Black and brown home ownership, is going to force the hand of other financial institutions, other banks, to compete with it.
Absolutely, which is good.
Which is great. So go, remember I told you, Dustin, that this program is only going to be for people that purchase in these Black and brown neighborhoods. Great. You know, we live in a Black, Blackish neighborhood. We live in Harlem. It's Blackish now. I love a Black neighborhood. I love a brown neighborhood.
Of course.
The challenge is, though, we talking about business, though. And with the business of it all, it is indisputable that property values in Black communities, brown communities, are lower.
Less valuable.
They're literally less valuable. Like, the homes and properties in those communities are evaluated, they are appraised at less money than the same houses. That's why I say the house
is irrelevant.
It's the land it's on. And this is not rocket science where this is coming from, Dustin. It's really as simple as the fact that blackness in America is unvalued. Period. It's undervalued. To put it simply. This nation does not value Black things, Black people, or Black communities. And because that's the case, you could have the same exact house, but it's in a white neighborhood. It will literally be appraised at more. If you don't believe me, don't take my word for it. Listen to this. 2018 researchers from Gallup and the Brookings Institute published a report saying this, that the widespread devaluation of, I'll say it again, devaluation of Black-owned property in the U.S., from which they had discussed this from a White House subcommittee hearing, okay, found this. The report found that a majority of Black neighborhoods is likely to be valued at 23%.
Jesus Christ.
That's almost a quarter.
Yeah.
23% less than the identical home in a white neighborhood.
Unreal, but real.
But real. It's determined that what does this gap in valuation cost us? What's the real tangible around that? Oh, Black homeowners having $156 billion with a B. Less in wealth. So there it is. That's it plain. If that felt like a lot, just run this shit back a little bit for about 45 seconds and re-listen to what I just told you.
Yep.
What I told you was buying property essential. Having an asset important to closing the wealth gap. But where you own is also important.
Critically important.
I just had this conversation with a dear friend of mine. One of my best friends, matter of fact, and she and her husband were looking to buy their forever home. And right now they own in Southwest D.C.
Okay.
Beautiful townhouse. Mm-hmm. So she's like, you know, now it's time for, you know, Black folk, we love a big house.
Yeah.
So she want to get the she want to get the big house. She want to get the cookout, the pool, the five bedrooms. I love it. And she bitch ain't even got no kids. What you need five bedrooms for?
She's
She
want a home.
She want the big house.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a marquee also. It's a marquee indicator of success. Mm-hmm. I mean, who are we kidding? It means absolutely something to have that's, a big, beautiful house. And she deserves that.
It communicates something.
Let's
for
definitely
sure.
be yes. clear. So then, of course, and anybody in the DMV area, y'all know this conversation, what to do with PG County. Mm-hmm. And listen, mm-hmm. I love PG County. Somebody told me the other day, I look like I could be from Pretty Girl County. I'm going to take it as a compliment. Thank you.
You actually do.
Do I look like a PG County girl?
You actually do.
Yeah, I'll yeah. take it. I mm-hmm. love it. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what PG County was until I was a first-generational college graduate at UNC Chapel Hill, mm-hmm. and I was seeing all these affluent black people from, you know, their parents were doctors and lawyers and engineers and this and that. I'm like, where y'all all from? They were all from PG County, honey.
I read a fictional
Prince George's
novel about
County.
That years
yeah.
ago. I can't remember who wrote. Was it Rosalind McMinn? I can't remember who wrote it, but come I read on, a novel about PG County years ago that kind of opened my eyes to
this.
What,
this yeah,
to
this,
how it
this,
worked.
Yeah, yeah, and for anybody unfamiliar, let me tell you what PG County is. It's Prince George's County. It's mm-hmm. in the state of Maryland. It is, you know, generally known as the wealthiest black predominantly populated community in America. Okay, it's just a place where black folks do well, simply mm-hmm. put. But when my friend went to go look at homes of a certain price range, high. Mm-hmm. She realized that the assessments and the property values in PG County, for all its affluence and reputation, were significantly lower than the neighboring white county known as Montgomery County.
Yep.
Look it up. Well, shit, of course I want to be in PG County. Of course I want to be with my people. Of course I want to contribute to the legacy and the history of black affluence in this community, but I don't want to lose money.
I was just going to say, but when it comes to a business.
From the business. So y'all listen, I sat on it enough. Y'all get the tea. Y'all get the memo.
Man, so we need to see the maps then, Ebony. We need to see what
the
communities
the districts
and what,
are looking
what these
like.
Districts. We need to see the mapping that they've done.
And that's what I want to say for the next phase. So again, I'm all about this pilot program at Bank of America. Let me be very clear. Mm-hmm. Any and everybody that is interested, thinking about being interested, I want you to go take these classes. I want you to get in line. I want you to be a part of this and participate in these this program in particular and others like it. What I want us to also do as a culture, Dustin, and as a community is challenge these institutions. If you're so invested in us as black people and black communities having home ownership, building wealth, closing the wealth gap, why are you limiting
us to this
space?
If the goal in mind is really advancement here.
Yeah, if it's really wealth building.
Yeah.
Why are you basically adhering to traditional forms of redlining mm-hmm. that have depreciated mm-hmm. the ability of black wealth building?
Which is such an important conversation to have. That redlining shit.
Oh,
that's
Dustin, baby, let me tell you something. This season to a holding court, we talking about this shit often.
I'm with it.
You know, because it's just a whole situation and I really want our people to really get this. And I learned a lot my damn self and am still learning through my own process and everything that I've been dealing with. And then another time we got to talk about episode one of this season. We talked about the distinction California is making mm-hmm. of black folks who are particularly descendants of formerly enslaved black Americans. Yet this Bank of America program is for blacks and Hispanic communities.
And you don't have to be either.
And you know, you could be a black person who is not the descendant of an enslaved black American. Now, because I'm never a hater, I love that for non-enslaved descendant black folk. Mm-hmm. That just to me needs to be a different program. Like this is this. Mm-hmm. I'm still, though, Dustin Ross, waiting on the program that is specific mm-hmm. to black folks who are the descendants of enslaved black Americans.
Yeah, this is good.
This is
step in the right direction.
Step in the right direction. In addition, so this mm-hmm. is not an or. I'm not saying don't do this. Do this. Abso-fucking-lutely. Clap, clap. Get on it.
Yep.
In addition, there should be a special program, and that is what I know I want my reparations package to look like.
There you
and
go.
And then I don't like programs that are predicated on black struggle.
Yeah.
Why is this only for first-time homeowners? I want the reparations black homeowner program. What about people looking for a vacation home, Dustin?
Yep.
What about people looking for a second property, a third property, a multi-unit dwelling?
Right. Every black person that's purchasing a home right now is not purchasing their starter home.
Correct.
Or their first home.
Correct.
Or whatever.
And there's no one's addressing that. No one's addressing folks who are in their process mm-hmm. of actually trying to build wealth in a what do you call it? intermediate mm-hmm, or advanced mm-hmm, station. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready for that program.
And still facing those same challenges. Still, and home ownership is not, it's
not like once and done.
It has nothing to do with
it. It gets even more difficult when you go to try to buy that second and third property. But don't worry about it, because your girl is on their ass.
Be on their ass. That PG County book, by the way, I misspoke. It wasn't Rosalind McMillan, who's a great author by in her own right. It was Connie Briscoe.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah,
published in 2002. So read that. PG County, if PG you just County. Want an interesting read.
Oh, that's the name of the book?
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And shout out. We got much, much, much love for PG County.
Yes.
Just y'all need to know the economics.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. All right. We talked about it in the open, Dustin. Looks mm-hmm. like a baby boy might potentially be in contempt. These are more shenanigans from Tyrese Gibson. I got to call him his whole name.
Crying ass Tyrese Gibson.
Always
worried
in the car
some
crying.
Ass Tyrese Gibson.
Tyrese was in court for child support, mm-hmm. back child support to be specific. This is with his current ex-wife, Samantha Lee Gibson. They have a child together, a daughter. So this gentleman was in court, and we actually could see the video of this. He's actually on the witness stand. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, being direct examination from his ex-wife Samantha's lawyer, and the lawyer is basically calling Tyrese out, saying he's full of shit for claiming that he's in dire straits around only making $2 million in 2018. Y'all hear for yourself.
Tender petitioner's exhibit 57, Mr. Gibson's 2018 tax. If I recall your testimony correctly, Mr. Gibson, you said 2018 you were financially in shambles. Correct?
Yeah.
So in 2018, when you were financially in shambles, do you know how much you made that year?
I don't.
According to your tax return, you made $2.221 million. Page 32. Do I check my math?
I'm sorry. I'm asking you because I don't do the CFO thing. Here's a question to you, smart person.
No, hey, that's enough. You post it out, we'll take a break, lawyer's back now. If you do it again, I'm gonna hold you to zip. You don't have to be clear. That's not how this works.
Okay, now when you saw this, before I say my piece, what did you think of the judge's reaction?
I would have had a reaction as well. Mm. I'll just put it to you like that. I would have had a reaction as well. Mm. And I thought Tyrese needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought, Ebony. Yeah. I think Tyrese, I hate to say it because he's a grown-ass man and I don't know the answer to this question.
Is
but
he
where
a grown
are the
ass
parents?
Man?
Where are the parents?
Is he a grown ass man?
That's further to my point. It feels like we're watching somebody who needs parental advisement.
It feels like we're watching Baby Boy.
My God.
Literally.
My God.
Art imitating life. A life imitating art.
That's how I feel.
So, yeah, listen, Tyrese be doing way too much. There's no question about that. I actually, though, I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. I thought the judge overreacted a little bit. Here's what I mean by that. Now, listen, I'm all about we call it decorum in the courtroom. And, you know, the judge is right. You don't ask the lawyer shit. Who the mm-hmm. hell you think you are? But all of that bravado and standing up and shit.
I felt like that was a lot. But I expect that from judges.
From judges.
So maybe that's why I wasn't as put
well,
off by it.
Well, and I'm going to tell you this, quiet as tea. Mm-hmm. And this is all Judge Ito's fault.
Mm-hmm. Mm, Judge Ito. Mm.
That's the judge from the OJ case. Mm-hmm. A lot of these judges look to these celebrity cases that come through their courtroom as opportunities to become celebrities themselves. I'm
gonna
give
gross.
You, yeah. So, and you know that's
it was
maybe
performative
my
to you.
That might be my bias, Dustin, because I know too much when I'll be watching this shit.
I think it's your expertise.
Maybe it's my expertise. Maybe it's my experience. Mm-hmm. That's where it landed for me.
Okay, it see that puts me, it in a different.
Yeah, it looked to me, sir. You just another random ass, old ass white man judge in another random low level court in wherever the hell y'all are, Georgia probably. You looking for a moment. Mm. It gave me reality TV looking for a moment.
Mm. Mm.
You could have stayed seated, sir, first of all, with your fat ass. Mm-hmm. And you could have just said, Mr. Gibson, it's inappropriate for you to direct questions back to counsel. I'll be the one asking the questions. And been done with it. Mm-hmm. But all of this, and I'm going to hold you in contempt. So let's talk about what contempt is. Because I thought, again, he ain't do nothing to be held in contempt. Like, not like that. Mm-hmm. Contempt. contempt is short for contempt of court. Mm-hmm. I know y'all be watching Law and Order and other shows, and y'all really think y'all are doing it big with that, and that's fine. Y'all think y'all ready to go to court. Y'all think y'all Jack McCoy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Contempt of court is the phrasing that will only come from a judge. Again, lawyers can't hold one another in contempt. Mm-hmm. Only a judge can hold someone in contempt of his or her courtroom. Mm-hmm. And it says that you're being disobedient to the manner in which we conduct business in this courtroom. Mm-hmm. It can be that you are not testifying. You know, I've seen somebody, you've been subpoenaed to show up to court. You show up to court. I need your testimony. Your Honor, I don't have anything to say. You can be held in contempt of court. You are not complying mm-hmm. with the demand of the court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You are tending to obstruct or interfere with the way we're trying to run business up in this courtroom. That's what contempt is. It can also be that you haven't done something the court has already asked you to do, which we're going to get to with Brother Cam Newton
yep.
a little bit later in the show. So Tyrese was threatened with, you know, you do that again, I'm going to hold you in contempt. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it was a little bit of a show.
It was just a little performative.
Yeah.
Then I could see, and again, we only saw this limited clip because I'm not personally sitting around. I don't know about you, Dustin, but you know, we work. So I'm not sitting around watching gavel to gavel
right.
the Tyrese Gibson right. child support case. But unless he had done that several times, contempt was a little much.
It was a little bit much. I feel what you're saying. I guess I've just been seeing Tyrese.
No, Tyrese do the most.
Beating us over the head with yeah. all these bleeding heart sentiments and all this right. open mouth crying and shit on. And I was glad somebody told him, hey, yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
You know, I was happy about that.
Yeah, yeah. You liked the message.
Like, finally.
Finally. Yeah, and also, let's talk about the money. Oh, that was another thing. While Tyrese had no damn business asking that lawyer shit, because that is out of order in the court of law, I knew where he was going with it. But what he needed to do is let his lawyer do that job.
Hello.
Because like, if I was representing Mr. Gibson, making $2 million don't mean shit if you spent $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Making $2 million don't mean shit if you spent $2.1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So to present an argument that just because someone brought in $2 million protects them from financial straits or ruin is factually inaccurate.
It's literally stupid. And anybody yeah. that understands how money works.
Right. Like, so what? You know? So he wasn't wrong. Tyrese mm-hmm. wasn't really wrong.
It was the delivery.
It's always the delivery with Tyrese.
Except
you know?
When he sings. He's got such a beautiful voice.
And he should do that more
just
often.
Just do that.
Yeah, do that more often. Was he in that group?
TGT. Tank, Genuine, and Tyrese, yeah. And I think that Tank and Genuine are still in I think Tyrese is a person who is not in communication with them.
Imagine that.
I think he was the problem. Okay?
Shocking.
Like that, yeah.
And that's saying a lot.
So.
Okay, so what has he got to pay, Dustin? He's got to pay $10,000 a month child support to his ex-wife for his daughter. And he's got to do that retroactively. So a lot of people think like, I don't know, people really think you out here can evade. I think the memo should be out. You cannot evade child support. So even if you were broke then, they're going to put your ass on a payment plan, Tyrese. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guarantee this is happening in courtrooms all across America. So all that time where you were evading or not paying, the court has now said the gig is up. You owe $209,000 back and you owe $10,000 a month going forward. So now you got to figure that out. And if you don't, now then you will be held in contempt. We'll see in Cam's case coming up in a second. And that would, to me, be an accurate use of him being in contempt of court. When the court say you got to pay, you got to pay. And if you don't pay, you will be in contempt. And I have to tell y'all, y'all know what it is. If you don't pay your child support, that's one of the most egregious ways you can be in contempt. They will take your driver's license. They will garnish your wages.
Throw you in jail.
Literally.
So it just makes more sense to me to have that shit worked out. Like, you know my perspective on this whole.
I do.
Co-parenting is shit. Like, just take care of it.
Just do it. Just make it
do
happen.
Do it.
Nobody wants to hear this sob story.
Do it before it gets to this. Because
now you got to pay a lawyer.
Yeah.
So now it's gotten more expensive.
Does he think public opinion is going to be? You are a famous entertainer to most people who lives a life. That
right.
People will never experience.
If you've mismanaged $2 million, very few people have sympathy for
no
that.
No one's going to have sympathy that's
what
the, for
that's
that.
What it comes down to. Like, so yeah, your argument might factually be correct, but to your point, for it to play out publicly, there is no empathy for that.
That's not going
to
help.
Because we all saw Fast and Furious.
Yes.
You know, so.
Come on,
where
bro.
The money at, Tyree? And that's what his ex-wife is saying. Where the money at? All right. So let's get to Cam. Again, let me tell y'all the story. So I am a, y'all know I'm a big sports fan. I'm a huge football fan. I'm a huge basketball fan.
Yes,
so Cam, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I was raised in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Come
shout
on.
Out to the, I can't even shout them out.
Yeah.
You don't even feel right. It was shout out to the Panthers.
Yeah.
That one year that when they went 15-1.
Yes, they did. But now.
And then they went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cam got exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. All
what
right.
All the time.
All the time. All right. So fast forward. Now Cam is a, well, Cam's in court. Let's go to that. Cam's in court for accusing, his ex-girlfriend. That's a whole nother.
Is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is really, is it,
Yeah, the culture's had a field day with this one. I'm not even going to sit up here and be a judge and jury around the,
we're talking
having
about the legality,
right? Having four children with one woman, having a side baby on her allegedly, but y'all were never married. So there's that. That aside for a second, I think it's Kia Proctor is mm-hmm. the mother of four of Cam's children,
mm-hmm.
and she's accusing him. He's on a child support order with Kia, as he should be, and he is supposed to be paying $20,000 for a utility bill where Kia raises their four children. Now, in the order, Cam has to pay utilities, which include, of course, the power, water, and cable.
Mm-hmm.
Kia had to submit a report. She says that he did not pay over $20,000, and she done listed the shit out, child. $5,500 in cable, $6,600 in internet. Y'all need a better package, but that's okay. $4,725 in power charges and another $4,532 in gas, all coming out to a little over $21,000. She also wants him to pay her $2,000 legal bills. That's a very cheap legal bill. Kia, you might want to reconsider counsel. Anyway, Proctor has asked the judge to find Newton in contempt of court, according to court documents, based off his, I don't want to say inability, but
unwillingness,
non-compliance
yeah.
to the existing child support order. Because right now he has a current child support order, Dustin, of $14,268 a month. And that's supposed to cover all the, you know, the bills. Now, this is where it gets dicey. OK, so she's saying in addition to the four, because she's not saying that he didn't pay the $14,268 a month. She's not saying that. What she's saying is that there is an additional that he's supposed to pay the bills and that she's sitting on a $21,000 bill that he needs to pay. Do you remember a messy ass social viral clip that went out a couple weeks ago where it was a man and a woman and he was like, my baby mama say my baby needs shoes. And then the girlfriend was like, tell her to take it out of the child support.
Yes, yes, yes. I
and
saw
this
that conversation.
Hotly contested.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And people were actually sending it to me wishing holding court was on.
Yeah.
And so here we go. So now
let's
we get to address it.
Absolutely.
What happens when all of the child's expenses don't fall within the scope of the ordered child support payment? Do you have to pay those additional expenses? The legal answer is no.
Mm.
I know folks gonna be mad. Now, listen, like you say, there's the law and then there's like code.
Right.
Code says your baby needs shoes, buy the baby some mm-hmm. shoes. You know, the code says the electric bill is $21,000. Cam, get your ass up off these fucking TikToks and pay the bill.
My God. But is he
but
legally
he's bound? Mm. So what he and his legal team are likely arguing is take it out of the child support. Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying. And they're not legally wrong.
Because otherwise, what's the money for?
Right. And make it enough.
Mm-hmm. that's what it is.
That's you know, like that's my favorite line.
Make
ever.
It enough.
Make it enough.
I mean,
Cam is saying to Kia, make it enough. Because I give you 14, not I give you, I pay as I should,
mm-hmm.
14 something thousand a month, make it enough.
But when I think about it though, that's not $14,000 a month for one child.
No, that's for four kids. By the way, I'm shocked his order is only 14,000.
Like what?
I think that's shocking. I know people that whose names y'all don't even know that pay $30,000 a month.
Yeah.
And I know you do too.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I just don't get this.
Matter of fact, if I can't get a good 30 licks a month off you, I don't even
want
to know
you. I don't
want
you licking me. Now, here's my thing. So, if I can't get 30 licks, you
Listen,
can't get them either.
It ain't
okay?
It ain't the math ain't mathin',
and it's got to add up. Now, I just don't understand why this is just small potatoes to me.
This is nothing.
A $21,000 bill, a $2,000 legal bill.
Yeah.
If you're paying $15,000 essentially, you know, every month in child support, pay this
That's
shit.
Not even 5K a kid.
Why don't you like
That's literally not even 5,000 a kid per. So yeah, I think this is bullshit.
Seems petty and personal.
I think it is petty and personal, but if I'm Cam's lawyer, you know, Cam ain't had a full-time football contract in about 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think last time he had that, he was suiting up for the Patriots, the evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know he needed a job. Yeah. Took your ass up to New England playing for Belichick. Shit, times was hard.
He had to throw that ball.
But he did.
Okay.
And then they cut his ass. Then he got a little reprieve.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina needed a backup. So, you know, he had a little homecoming, which was cute. And, oh, Cam, I took my little baba head, my Cam baba head. I tried to find it, but it's in storage. So for Kia's sake and the kids' sake, really, I hope that the call happens. And I hope that Cam can settle up. And I hope he can continue to make these payments on time. Because it sounds like chump change. It may be chump change. But when I started doing the mathing,
it might not be.
Yeah, because people be spitting. The problem is, and then we're going to be done with it. This goes for Tyrese. This goes for Cam. This goes for a lot of people that make those big checks. The money don't always last. And we know this. NFL, not for long.
Yeah.
Even when you have a $100 million contract, if you're spending lavishly, it goes quick.
Yep.
So is there a scenario, Dustin, where Cam is looking at an extra $21,000 bill and like,
Maybe.
That don't mean he shouldn't have to pay it, but that may be the case. He might be at a make it enough phase in life.
Well, hopefully, if he does get a third call from the Carolina Panthers, he has, you know, the proper resources at his disposal to manage his money better this time around.
I hope so.
You know
so.
What I mean?
I hope so. Well,
I
right
know
now,
Kia, so
Robert said, Kia don't want to hear that shit.
Right.
Kia's like, pay me. Where is my money? And judge, if he don't pay, I want you to hold his ass in contempt for failure to comply with your order.
Hell yeah. Them kids didn't order $5,000 worth of Roblox and, right. and all that shit off of the app store and everything else. They done ran that bill up.
Ran that bill up.
Okay.
Kia like,
I ain't buying another damn in-app purchase.
At all.
Till you cut the check, Cam.
Cut it, Cam.
Okay.
You got to cut it.
Okay.
There's something wrong with me, y'all. Okay, y'all, join us next week. Record will be back in session. In the meantime, we want you to stay safe, stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Keep the faith. Stop the crying. Stop the talking. And do what, Dustin?
Pay your damn utility bill.
All of it.
And read the terms and conditions.
Thank you. Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to Operations Lead Sarah Yu, Business Development Lead Sheffy Ellen Swag, and Marketing Lead Samira Still.